welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Brian Venois. In this week's recap, a fishing boat grounded and spilled at least 3,000 gallons of diesel near the Katoy Bay Hatchery.
So the response vessel that's headed out has skimmers on board and absorbent pads so they can deploy a skimmer in boom that collects the oil and skim the oil off the top of the water.
That's coming up.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
But first, a small earthquake struck about 100 miles south of Kodiak early on Monday morning. No injuries or damage has been reported, though some residents reported feeling light shaking on social media. The National Tsunami Warning Center did not issue any warnings or advisories. The Alaska Earthquake Center has listed it as a magnitude 5, followed by 5 aftershocks within an hour of the initial shake. And on August 29th, the Kodiak Area Native Association issued an advisory about elevated toxin levels in shellfish sampled around the island's road system. Some were 6 times above the FDA regulatory limit. Toxins at these levels can cause paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, in people who eat the contaminated shellfish. KANA's advisory was based off samples its environmental team collected from a handful of sites across the road system on August 22nd. Andy Wall, the environmental coordinator with KANA, says her team took additional shellfish samples last month to send to the lab in Sitka for testing.
And in an effort to be better, more reactive, and try and understand the scope of the bloom, we did all the way from White Sands out to Thumbs Up in Chiniac, and I think we did 10 different locations in addition to our primary sites.
PSP symptoms include tingling in the lips and fingertips, numbing of the arms and legs, nausea, difficulty breathing, and even death. Anyone with these symptoms should seek immediate medical care or call 911 or their local clinic immediately. The toxin levels point to harmful algal blooms. Steve Kibler is a scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration who studies blooms all over the country, including Alaska. He's been on board the research vessel Oscar Dyson for weeks at various times last summer and this summer studying them around Kodiak Island. Kibler says so far, they're 2 years into a 4-year study and have found very different patterns.
One of the things that we immediately noticed is that you can have really high density bloom out there, but not necessarily any shellfish toxicity, because if there's no shellfish there, then there's nothing to be toxic. It's a little bit scary, because the more you learn, the more you realize how variable this is.
In June of last year, Kibler says 2 blooms showed up in Calson Bay and the other near Spruce Island. But by August, he says the blooms had shifted to the northern side of the island along Gibson Cove. Kibler suspects the movements of these blooms has to do with the water circulation and wind patterns around Kodiak around those times, but it will take more time and more data from future studies to be able to predict where these blooms occur. In the meantime, all local shellfish harvesters can submit samples to KANA for free harvest and hold testing. And the Alaska Aerospace Corporation is building out a missile test range from Kodiak Island to the Aleutians. The southern edge of the range in ADAC could also potentially include a spaceport. That's according to a public notice from last week, which said the state-owned corporation is in the early phases of developing a Pacific test range for hypersonic tests, orbital launches, and other aerospace operations. Alaska Aerospace owns and operates the Pacific Spaceport Complex on Kodiak Island near Narrow Cape, which will be the anchor for the 1,100-mile range stretching southwest to ADAC. John Oberst is the CEO and president of Alaska Aerospace.
Where we shoot our rockets is the range already. We want to instrument the Aleutian Islands to be able to do the telemetry all the way down the Aleutians. We don't have to change the actual range. We just need to add instrumentation to it.
Alaska Aerospace already launches rockets into that range from the Kodiak Island spaceport. Adding telemetry will allow the corporation to transmit and record data from rockets launched at the Kodiak Island spaceport, as well as remotely blow them up if needed. The corporation's plan involves potentially setting up fixed sites at Sandpoint on Alaska and ADAC rather than relying on vessels in the water or air to provide the telemetry. Oberst has said several times before that capacity limitations and other spaceports and test ranges around the country are driving the need for more capacity in Alaska, like this new Pacific test range.
In the eastern and western ranges, Cape Canaveral and Vandenberg, they're busy with the big stuff, the Falcon 9s and the New Glenns and the Artemis missions. And so the little guys are looking for places where they can go shoot a lot, and they can't do it in the eastern and western ranges like they used to. So they're coming to us under that too.
And that's not just for rocket launches. Oberst says the federal government and its military contractors will likely come to Alaska's rocket launch facilities for hypersonic missile tests and to support the massive multi-billion-dollar Golden Dome project. Last month, the federal government successfully launched from Kodiak Island Spaceport, but Oberst declined to provide further details about the launch. An online satellite traffic outfit says it was likely a hypersonic missile test. According to the corporation's request for information for the Pacific Test Range that was posted last week, interested contractors have until late September to submit responses. This is not a formal request for proposals, and the information is subject to change. Alaska Aerospace Corporation has not announced a timeline for the range project. And Kodiak's main landfill is estimated to run out of space within the next 20 years. The borough is in the process of updating its regional solid waste management plan, and as KMXT's Davis Hubby reports, that includes preparing for what happens next.
6 mornings a week, the 6-member staff at the local landfill run the baler, which crushes all types of garbage into consistently sized blocks. They load each one into a dump truck and stack them into a neatly organized wall of garbage blocks on site. Jeff Johnson has worked here for nearly 27 years. He says the average local household produces about 5 pounds of trash per day.
Residents are allowed 40 pounds of hazardous waste a month, 3 and 5 gallons of liquid.
The Kodiak Island Borough Landfill also accepts up to 260 pounds of certain kinds of residential garbage at no charge, including furniture, as well as the household chemicals and limited amounts of used oil Johnson mentioned. But not all of that goes into the baler. On the other side of the landfill, piles of tires, scrap metal, and construction materials sit at the foot of massive man-made hills of gravel and rock. Johnson says construction and demolition debris, referred to as C&D, accounts for a huge portion of what's buried under these hills.
Everything you see that way, except for in this fenced area, up to pretty much right over there, the hill, is asbestos, but everything beyond and that way is C&D.
So you are getting a lot of C&D.
We're getting a lot of C&D.
The borough charges $400 per ton for construction debris, which is the same rate charged to dispose of fishing gear or 1 ton of waste delivered by the Coast Guard contractor or the borough's collection contractor, Alaska Waste. Otherwise, the majority of the waste being dumped at the landfill is recyclable. That includes paper, cardboard, and metal containers. The current regional solid waste management plan, which was written in 2008, says 37% of non-C&D materials at the landfill are paper. And that's the type of information the Borough and Kodiak Area Native Association want to update. They are collaborating on a new regional solid waste management plan.
Number one is making sure that the village communities are represented.
Stephanie Mason is the Rural Waste Management Coordinator with Kodiak Area Native Association.
They're not represented in that original plan, and they reside on borough land, and they pay property taxes.
She says she hopes the updated plan will also show the costs of closing the landfill and what comes after.
Because it costs money to have a landfill, operate a landfill, and we have made landfill expansions that are millions of dollars. And guess what? It costs even more to close a landfill and maintain that landfill. That landfill will forever need to be maintained.
Cody Allen, the engineering and facilities director for the borough, says the latest estimates are that the landfill is roughly 40% full. He says the borough is considering ways to save space and preparing to build a new one through this plan.
We're in the draft phase of it right now, working with our community partners, Canna and the villages, to look at a long-term plan for what that means. And one element of that plan will be, what do we do with the landfill if once we run out of space?
Kodiak Island residents have until August 30th to provide their input. Officials are taking comments through an online survey. Allen says the borough is expecting the draft to be completed by the end of September and a final plan by the end of the year. Reporting from the Kodiak Landfill, I'm Davis Hovey.
And our last story for today, an oil spill from a grounded fishing boat was reported near a salmon hatchery in the Kodiak Archipelago on Monday morning. KMXT has this report that up to 3,500 gallons of diesel have been released. Commercial fishing around Isuit Bay and Outer Katoy Bay near Fognak Island to the north of Kodiak is closed until further notice due to a fuel sheen in the area. That's after the 112-foot fishing boat Sea Urn, which is homeported in Seattle, ran aground in Isuit Bay just after 6 a.m. on Monday morning. According to a press release from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, at least 3,000 gallons of fuel leaked into the waters near the Katoy Bay hatchery, the largest salmon hatchery in the Kodiak Archipelago. Anna Carey, the department's environmental program manager, says hatchery staff have already deployed protective boom and a response vessel is on its way.
So the response vessel that's headed out has skimmers on board and absorbent pads so they can deploy a skimmer in boom that collects the oil and skim the oil off the top of the water.
A Good Samaritan helped ground the vessel on a nearby sandy beach, according to the department. There's a 12-foot gash in the hull, but it's not at risk of sinking.
We'll also focus on protecting sensitive areas like the hatchery and any other creeks in the area and watch for wildlife and any impacts there. There hasn't been any impacts to wildlife reported.
According to the release, several migratory birds and marine mammals like whales have been spotted in the area, though. Another estimated 12,800 more gallons of fuel are likely still on board. However, the remaining tanks appear to be undamaged, according to the release. There's also about 300 gallons of other oil and lubricants on board. Carey says the department will decide how to approach cleaning up the wrecked ship once the response vessel is on the scene.
They'll make a plan and then review that with us and the Coast Guard.
A spokesperson for the Coast Guard did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Carey estimated a more robust response plan should be finalized within about a week. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venua.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
And if you enjoy this podcast, make sure to follow us on the KMXT app. It's free to download and features all of our local news and programming, including every episode of the Weekly Wrap. That's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Brian Benoit. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.